Well, it's summertime, and the living is easy, and the fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. I feel like a song coming on. I love summertime because here at Christ Lutheran Vale, we normally go through a book of the Bible, just kind of going through the book chapter by chapter. And this summer, I wanted to actually deviate from that and go through some of the stuff that Luther was passionate about because we're in the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So I started putting together all this stuff, and I kept going back to one particular book, and I realized maybe I could just go through a book of the Bible. Maybe I would just go through Luther's favorite book. And so we're going to do that this summer because Luther's favorite book of the Bible was Galatians. It was the book, Paul's letter to the Galatians, which was Luther's favorite epistle. As a matter of fact, he said this about it. He said, "The epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. I am to it as it were in wedlock. It is my Catherine." Of course, he's talking about Katie von Bora, his wife. He loved the Paul's letter to Galatians. As a matter of fact, he lectured on it twice and then took those lectures and wrote a commentary on it. And from that commentary, when they were talking about publishing commentaries, Luther said, "Don't publish any of my commentaries except my commentary on Galatians." So it was a big deal for Luther. And we're going to spend the whole rest of the summer in the book of Galatians because it's a great book. It is probably the best theology you will ever see in the whole of Scripture, because it's Paul's theology, it's Christian theology, and Theodore Graebner, who translated the book of Galatians into English from the German, said this: "The importance of this commentary on Galatians for the history of Protestantism, which is the Christian church today, is very great. It presents, like no other of Luther's writings, the central thought of Christianity, the justification of the sinner for the sake of Christ's merits alone." So it's an important book. And so as we go through the book of Galatians, I encourage you, if you want to, bring your Bible, mark in the margins. There'll be some interesting, I hope, thoughts that come out of it. Maybe not, but hopefully there will be some really, really good things because it is a great book. And we're going to be spending the next several weeks in the book of Galatians. I would tell you, but it would cause you fear. But it's going to be a long sermon series on the book of Galatians. So, we're going to start right out in Galatians 1, chapter 1, where Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." And I should point out that as we're going through this sermon series on Galatians, that I am going through Luther's commentary that's been translated. I'm not doing it in German. I don't know German. So it's been translated English. And I found some really interesting stuff, and I'll be bringing that out. But when Luther writes about this, he spends a little bit of time talking about the word apostle. Because apostle comes from the Greek word apostello, which is to send. To send. So an apostle is one who is sent. And Paul says that he is one that is sent. Now, you may say, who are the apostles? Well, we already know some of the apostles, right? There are the 12 apostles. They were sent by Jesus, was on this earth. He called 12. And we call them the apostles because Jesus commissioned them to go and spread the good news. And so they're the apostles. We know about them. But there's actually a couple others that you may remember. There's Matthias. After Jesus died, was betrayed by Judas, the apostles realized there needed to be 12, and so they called from their number a couple who had been with them with Jesus. They had two of them. They drew straws, and Matthias was the one who was chosen as the 12th disciple. But then God calls the apostle Paul as a disciple. And if you look through the book of Acts, you'll find that there are actually several different people who are called or referred to as apostles. For example, Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 is indicated as an apostle. Maybe Andronicus and Junius in Romans 16. Titus, you know the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus. He's called an apostle of the church. And so is Epaphroditus. So it seems that an apostle is not necessarily the 12 disciples who are called the 12 apostles. It seems like a progression from people who are called apostles by the church, in the church at the time of Jesus. Now, what's interesting is I've studied the book of Acts several times, and it's just fascinating to me, this progression that happens in the book of Acts. First, when the church first starts in Acts chapter 2, Peter starts preaching to the crowd. And you have this huge crowd gathered around. Peter preaches, and at the end of Acts chapter 2, it says there were 300 that became believers that day. So you have the crowd, and then you have the believers. And then they're called believers until you get to about Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, then, they're called disciples. So there's this progression from crowd to believers to disciples. And then the whole book of Acts really is about the Apostle Paul and his preaching and his missionary journey and his call by God to be an apostle. So if you think about it, if you look in the book of Acts, there's this progression. You've got the crowd, you've got the believers, you've got the disciples, and then you have the apostles, the Apostle Paul or other apostles. It is my belief that the church is about the business of getting people from that part where they're part of the crowd through this process to where they become an apostle. Because I believe that anybody who's called by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly an apostle. And Paul was definitely one of them. Yesterday, we had this leadership conference. In the afternoon, we had lunch at the leadership conference. And we talked about this initiative that we're doing in our church, which lines up with this completely, that we're going to put some teams together, an invite team, a connect team, an apprentice team, and a send team. And those teams are to bring people along the journey, to bring people into the point where they're called to go out and preach the good news. Now, you might say, but wait a minute. Jesus didn't say, go make apostles. Jesus said, go make disciples. And that is true. Luther actually talks about this a little bit as we move on. Because Luther spends time on this in his commentary in Galatians. You see, Paul says that he's not from men or through men that he has become an apostle. Now, you all know the story of Paul. He was a man who persecuted the early Christian church. And one day he's walking on the road to Damascus. And he is a wonderful man, loved by the community, trained under the greatest scholars, lives the life of a Jew perfectly, as near as perfect as anybody can. He calls himself a Jew of Jews. And he's walking along the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, this bright light comes and Paul is hit by Jesus, and Jesus says to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul says, who is this? And he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now that's a call from God. That's a huge call from God. And it must have been an incredible call because later in life, Paul has to battle so many times the early disciples, the apostles, the other church. And he has to say, I have been called by God to do these things. And he was. You see, when he went to Galatia and he started the church, But then, after he left all these churches in Galatia and he moves on to do other work, he hears back that there's these people. They're called the Judaizers. They're the ones that were the Jews that were converted to Christianity, but they still kept a lot of the Jewish customs and traditions. And they went into Galatia, these churches, and they said, you've got to keep all the Jewish law and be a Christian. And that's not at all what Paul preached. What Paul preached was that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with keeping the law at all. It is all on Jesus Christ. So when he left and he heard about these Judaizers, he was irate, he was upset, but they said, now wait. Paul, you're later. We're the original here. We are the ones that are true Christians because we are coming from the true Christian, we're from this Jewish faith, and we understand it better than you. And Paul had to fight them. Paul had to say, no, I've got a call from God to say this is the truth, and you're not spreading the truth. Now, the reason why Luther spends time on this is because Luther felt so much connection with Paul here. Because what did Luther do? Luther was in the church. He says, now, wait a minute. I have a call from God. But his call wasn't a direct road to Damascus. It was when he was translating the scriptures, he realized that we're saved by grace through faith, and that's what Holy Scripture says. And he realized that wasn't being taught in the church. And he said, we got to get back to that. And the church began to persecute Luther just as the Judaizers were persecuting Paul. So Luther felt a tremendous connection with this book because he felt persecuted. He felt that his struggle was the same as Paul's struggle. Luther equated his struggle as the same as Paul's struggle in the churches in Galatia, and he saw the same thing in the church. He was reading scripture that said, we are saved by grace, and the church was saying, well, we're older. We understand scripture, these Jews, but Luther staked his authority on God's word, and he believed that he was called by God to preach this word. So, if Luther felt he was called by God to preach, the question I have for the church is, we feel called by God's word to preach. Where are you along this continuum? Are you just connected a little bit? Are you being a disciple? Or do you really feel that God is calling you to go and preach God's word? It's an interesting thing. Luther talks about this a little bit, about the call. Because there's actually two calls. He says, I'm not called by men or through men, but I'm called by God. But today, we have people that are, most of you know, pastors that are called, right? We set up this structure and we call pastors to a congregation. And you say, well, that's a call by men. That's not necessarily a call by God. So how does that whole thing work? Well, I'm going to tell you. There are men who feel called to go into the seminary. There are men who feel called to follow God's path in a certain direction. In my case, it was to go to the seminary. It was a call by God for me to preach the good news to people around me. But in order to do that in our church body, you have to go to seminary. And you say, well, why do you have to go to seminary? Can't you just go out and call and do this thing that God's called you to? And that's a very good question. And I think it's a very, very good question because seminary is very hard and difficult. But it's there for purpose. Seminary is there for purpose, and that is, it is extremely difficult, but it weeds out the people who don't feel the call. They make it difficult to kind of, there are some people obviously go to seminary because they want to have power over other people, but there are other people, vast majority of them, who go to seminary because they really feel called by God that this is what that God is calling to do. Now, they could go out and they could start preaching. But what we have in our system is a very difficult process to kind of make sure that you've got that call. Because then when we send you out to a congregation to preach and to lead a congregation, it is a very difficult thing. And it's that call, that knowing that God has placed you in that position that sustains you. When Luther was called by God to fight the whole entire church establishment to say we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, it took a lot of courage and a lot of strength, and the only thing that Luther could hold on to was that call. To say, I did not get called from men. I got my call from God's word. And we hold on to that. God calls some people. Actually, he calls all of us. When we are disciples, to maybe take it to a different level and to be sent and to preach the good news. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus said in Matthew, go therefore make disciples of all men. He didn't say go therefore make apostles of all men. Why? Because the church can only go so far. They can only disciple. The calling has to come from God. Now, we confirm it and we do all sorts of things, but that calling comes from God. And many of you have been called by God to do something in the kingdom of God, and that's a wonderful thing. You're an apostle. I believe that the church should raise up and train disciples, but many of you will go that one further step and say, I'm called by God to do this for the kingdom. Luther felt that, Paul felt that, and so we do that. So some people are called to be apostles. Paul was called to be an apostle. But what's the message of an apostle? Well, it's quite simply there in verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You see, we live in a present evil age. Now, you may not think that we live in a present evil age, but if you really stop to think about it and look at all the violence and the turmoil and the horrible things that are going on in the world, we are living in a present evil age. And that present evil age started at the fall of man and will continue to the end of time until Jesus comes back and rescues us for good. We are living in that present evil age. And the only cure for the present evil age, it's not science, it's not medicine, it's not technology, it's not politicians, it's not any of the things that people are saying, this is going to finally rescue us from this present evil age. The only thing that can rescue this world from the present evil age is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel which says it's not by your works, but it's by the grace of God. And if people lived by the gospel, if people understood the gospel, if they shared the gospel, it rescues this world from the present evil age. And all the other stuff does not rescue. The only cure for this world is Jesus and the love and the gospel that he brings. That's it. And the only people that can bring that cure is the church of God living on this earth, empowered by the Word of God. So that's you. That's you and your community. That's you with your friends. That's you with your family. That's you in the world that you live in. You are the cure for the evil that exists around us. And that's a great thing. That's an incredible challenge, but it's an incredible opportunity. Paul understood that. Paul understood that we lived in a present evil age, and he did everything that he physically could do to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around him. And because of his work, we now have the written record of what he did in the gospel. May God grant us the wisdom and the strength to pursue that in this present evil age. In his name, amen. Respond.